and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome to Racing Across America on opening day. Seth Merrow, Anthony Morimino. Anthony, good morning again. For folks who maybe were just tuning in.
This is
great. The horses are now working
this,
out behind
this version will be basically racing across Nelson Avenue. This will be very shrunken in to just this beautiful.
Maybe we should rename it.
This is 24/7 Saratoga Racecourse as it should be. And we are right in front of Clare Court. I understand that not everybody has access to come back here, but if you ever walk up Nelson Avenue, particularly on a cool morning or something, it's kind of like a practice facility.
I've asked trainers before.
Very early in their process.
And it's more of a mental thing with a lot of horses.
Okay.
It just gets them out of the routine and it gives them a new place to kind of jog. It's not so much the front side track or
horses.
The Oklahoma. Oh. They're really working. Okay. These guys, they're out there, and they aren't really workouts.
No,
they're bringing them over there to kind of get them and again, get them refreshed.
I think it's four furlongs. I think there's – I look at them.
Right,
I think there's two red and white striped poles out here. It's just beautiful. I mean, the rustic fence, the trees, if you want to have your best picnic ever, we're in the middle of Clare Court, if they let you, would be like the best picnic ever.
Eric Gio with the gumbo.
His gumbo.
Years ago.
So we're very fortunate. This is, I would say, Capital, I mean, it's longer than me, but Capital has been here at least 27, 28
that seems
years.
Right.
We had a little different. The shot was different before. We kind of moved it so we actually bring the horses more into it. But Capital has been here a very long time. And we're grateful to the New York Race Association.
Yeah, I would say Randy Moss, I had him in his
for that.
Works with NBC, obviously. And he said, man, this is one of the best sets in all
and I would say,
horse racing.
I would say only, this is my 25th summer doing regularly. Today, we only had the one incident with the horse, and it was very scary. But the rest of the time, doing this programming and hearing the hoofbeats behind you, it doesn't get any more enjoyable or better.
I've had two where the horse walked up to the front of the tent and looked at
me. I only had the one. And
you're not on the show today, pal.
He hit the stanchion over there, and we're like, this could get really ugly. But most of the time,
both incidents turned out well. Horses had gotten loose, and I think both of them pretty much came over. Both looked in the tent like, "Hey, I'm going to come in and be on TV."
Yeah, they got some fresh grass here. This grass doesn't get trotted at all.
And that's exactly. They went over to the side, and then the folks got them. So both of the things turned out well. And you were thanking Naira. I want to reiterate that as well. We always appreciate that the New York Racing Association, the folks there, host us here on the backstretch every year and allow us to do this, because I know we have fun doing it. We appreciate it. And from what I hear on the front side, year in and year out, you all appreciate it.
It advances the sport, which is, we need more of, obviously. Not only Saratoga, but other venues. Anything that moves the sport forward in a positive way is a good thing. And that's, 2 hours of television every morning, right? Capital puts out
live
from
the
racetrack.
Yep.
So, pretty good.
You mentioned on the handicapper support, visiting various racetracks and whatnot. And I thought I'd just save it to here because I don't know. Wasn't it at the end of the meet? So I don't remember if we had a chance to talk to you or not. Maybe it was earlier than that. But you made a I'm envious. You made a visit before Arlington closed, and you said
I'll tell you. I did the last Saturday card, Jockey Club Gold Cup Day. Still hard for me to say that at Saratoga, but and then immediately went down. Because the news was, that Arlington was going to close, and I had, I had procrastinated, which I don't take any pride in. I'm like, and I said to my wife, and I even talked to our colleague Steve Bick one time because Steve is very dialed in, and. I said to him, I said, is this really going to happen? Like, they're going to close? He's like, Anthony. So I said to my wife, I said, listen, I said, we're going. I said, this is going to happen. I said, it's Chicago. We can make it. We're going to Arlington Park. So we left on Saturday, and I went to the track on Sunday, and it was as great an experience at the racetrack as you. It was everything people had said. And I said to my wife, think about this. They've been emotionally and mentally beaten up by, they only had like 10 days of racing left when I left. But the employees were upbeat. The service was spectacular. It was, I won't say it was in pristine shape because you just, the things you've heard about, they ran it down, but it was still beautiful. The people were upbeat, and I just was internally crying that parking was great. I would have liked to have seen Arlington Million because I looked around the parking lot. I would say, I think at least 60 to 75% of the cars could get here on the grounds, and the sight lines are beautiful. It was just fantastic, and I crushed the opening exacta for like $400. My wife was like, are you kidding me? I go, well, it's just to get in place. I don't like the chalk. I like these other two. And it was one of the most double-edged sword experiences of my life, was loving what I was enjoying, realizing that this is the end, and kicking myself to not having come when Mr. Dutcher Swab was, this place was really rolling, and I'm sure every brick was beautifully painted. But I'm telling you, it was so great for the average fan because, I didn't have anybody call on my behalf or anything. I walked in with my wife and our son, and I didn't go Arlington Million Day, so I'm sure those are the only 2 days around there. Got a beautiful box seat, and it was great, and I just was like, it was terrible.
An everything. A-plus facility in a major plus. Metropolitan area.
Easy to get to. You stay in Chicago. It was fantastic, and now, unfortunately, it's going to be home to the Bears, just like my Rams play at the home of the old Hollywood Park. So we've seen this song before. But it was as good as racing should be. I know we have the history, and we kind of have like a county fair thing. But for comfort, for the average person to walk up, where you bet was beautiful, old style. I went to the teller. It should just be replicated. Any of these smaller venue tracks where they only expect 6,000, like when they rebuilt Gulfstream and you realize you're a television product type thing, you could replicate all the service and everything he did if you really wanted to. And it was beautiful. And as you said, it was so sad to leave. I just, our son doesn't quite understand it. My wife does. She was just like, this is terrible. I said, yes, it is.
When that news was playing out last year, but I knew you had went. So
yes.
Like I say, I remember it was the end of the season. So I thought, just because you were texting from there and going, this place is spectacular. Oh. So I thought I'd give you
people, it's just like, here it's just, you really can't go in and get a box seat for the comfort of your wife and family too easily. But you sit there and you're like, the sight lines are beautiful. The service, it's the way it should be.
And you talk about this facility and the atmosphere here. I will reiterate what I've said for the last few years. The current management here, I think, has done a lot of things for the fan and for the facility. The stretch area in those, two or three, seating areas at the top of the grandstand that on most days would be completely empty. That now has become the stretch and is a little bit of an upgrade, and I think that was a great addition.
It's a lot of an upgrade.
That 1862 club, but I bring those up. They're nice additions to the track. The
1862.
Is it 1862 or 1863?
I think you got it right the second time.
Okay. When I said it, I was wondering.
Because right across the street, 1863, here since 1864.
Okay, yeah.
Not the only thing you've ever been early to.
The architecturally a nice fit in there and whatnot. Oh. But I bring both of those up because, as you say, you and I walked over to the front side yesterday. And one of the first things we saw when we walked in was the new paddock bar, the new two-story paddock bar, which I think architecturally
tremendous.
They did a good job on. But I thought, boy,
I know people are going to poo-poo, but I'm like, it's beautiful.
I'm with you.
My wife was like, I can't wait. And those are the people you want to attract, or people such as my wife. It was beautiful.
Yeah. So
there's Mr. Beat the Meat.
Yeah.
We'll get him on later. Mike Wells of the Daily Racing Forum will be on with Seth. A little bit after 10:20.
Yeah, we're 10:16 now.
10:16. But boy, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's actually getting nicer and nicer. But I think it's priceless. I got to do some investigation because my wife wants to go now. And for a guy like me, I told her, I said, well, it's great because there's kind of like this court area, and on the other side is Shake Shack, which I love their burger and shake. So, and my wife,
and again, architecturally, they kept the kind of the ironwork look.
Oh, it's pristine.
It looks modern, but they're keeping with the. I thought it looked. I'm gonna have to go over and I'll have to test it out myself.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that they did that's really nice is so you have the walkway for the horses to go out, and on one side you have the brigade of picnic benches. It's all right, so you guys have something, and on the other side you have a grand looking bar. So it's not like it was kicked out at the expense of a group. A group has tons of picnic tables, maybe not enough on Traverse Day, but I would bet enough for 36 of the 40 racing days.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so again, a nice job there. And just before we go to the break, I want to talk about one more. We talked about obviously the handicapper support, but the new mile shoot. You and I drove from here where we're on the backstretch, kind of out by the 7 furlong shoot. And we drove over to the front side, which meant we were kind of going around the clubhouse turn, got a look at what they've done. Lost some parking with the new mile chute, but the picnic area that they had last year, 2 years ago, was that with that tailgate picnic area.
Yeah.
That's still there, so that, I think, is a great option for folks, too. You're in a unique
spot.
But now with that mile chute, that'll be a lot of fun if you're there.
And it's a real chute. I mean, it's a permanent structure of the railings, et cetera. It goes right out, and you can look right down the lane where they got to kind of negotiate to get up the backstretch. But it's a real deal.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, why don't we take a break? And as promised, we'll bring in Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. We'll let him talk a little bit about the workout reports that they do. They do a great job, and I think up here at Saratoga, those are a real asset to handicapping, particularly with those two-year-old races and whatnot. We'll get some of his thoughts on some of the racing action as well. You're going to step out just because we will be a little, we're rejiggering our stage this afternoon because, you know, we're a little early and it's a little bit, so we're more of a two-shot than a three-shot today. So Anthony will step up, but he'll come back in for the closing segment. So after the break, Mike Welch for the Daily Racing Forum. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on Thursday, opening day at Saratoga, the first of 40 great days of action. And as we typically do during the meet, we are plugging in Mike Welch this morning, and I thought no better time to do it than opening day so we can tout the workout report a little bit, because I think that's a really great handicapping tool. But I want to start our colleague Anthony Mormino. When he walked out, he gave you a big congratulations. I will too here publicly and let you talk a little bit about it, because as a public handicapper myself, I know how tough it is going back to the championship meet. You beat the meet
at Gulfstream Park. Yeah. You know, it was. I really had my doubts how good you're going to do that because of all the Tapeta races. There was no form in the Tapeta races, and got lucky a few of those. But the clock report was a big help, and a lot of the maiden races had a couple of big price maidens, and that bumps up the ROI. So, yeah, I was pretty proud of that.
How close were you? Did you have to come down to the last couple of days?
Yeah, it was 2:03, I think, for the meet. I think it was right about that going into closing days, so you needed to have a couple of wins just to keep it up. Of course, by that point in the meet, you've had so many. It's like a batting average.
Yeah.
You know, when
you've
got the 400 or 500 at-bats, you have 1-0 for 4 or 1-4 for 4. It doesn't change it that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had about 500 picks, I think, going into closing day. So it wasn't going to move too much, but I didn't want to go over the card. I might have dropped it to 199, and then you can't brag.
Exactly. No, you deserve to brag. That, for folks who aren't familiar, you know, handicapping every day, that's an incredible accomplishment. So congratulations there. And hopefully you can redo that up here as well.
Yeah, I don't do public handicapping here, but for my own wagering purposes, I'd like to go 2.03 for the meet, that's for sure.
And talk a little bit about, you know, normally the most of the year you're down at Gulfstream. That's your home base, and we see you down there when we go down for the Florida Derby and always have fun there. But then Triple Crown time, you bounce and do some clocking up at Louisville, Churchill for the Derby. And then, so talk about your schedule, because then you've been up here, I'm assuming, a couple weeks here doing some clocking?
Yeah, I go after Gulfstream, I go to Churchill for about 2 weeks before the Derby. I don't do anything before the Preakness, because nobody really works for that. And then I was in for the Belmont about 10 or 12 days before that. Went back home to Florida for 3 weeks, and then was up at Belmont July 4th weekend while my colleague Mike Vesey was up here covering here for the report. And then I drove up here July 4th after works on July 4th at Belmont and started here on the 5th. And Mike's been here right straight through. So we've had coverage on both tracks pretty much right straight through since July 2nd, I think, and coverage down there pretty much the whole meet. And Dave Grenning, also a big help down there at Belmont. And now up here, we've got actually three of us doing it. So
both tracks, meaning here and over across the street, Oklahoma as well.
Yeah, and Belmont's really tough because they've got the training track and the main track. And it takes a while to get it between the two of them. And a lot of the works there are simultaneous between the two. Here, you could shuttle between the two. The only time it's really simultaneous is in the morning from 5:30 to 7. After that, 7:30 there, 8:45 here, back there at 9:30. So we get pretty good coverage. Turf Works, where there's always two or three of us there for turf, and you need it because there's, you know, right now about 50 or 60 a day. It'll be 90 or 100 a day. They only have the turf course open for works twice a week over on the Oklahoma side.
And talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of it, because I'm up in the press box, and I see you and Dave Grenick kind of comparing notes often on days. And I was kind of amazed at how, you know, the complexity that goes into it, in that, you know, that you have to determine who the horses are. And as you say, there are dozens and dozens of horses. Just talk a little bit about being out there in the morning and what you're doing, and then kind of getting it all together for the afternoon.
Well, it takes a lot of teamwork, especially when it gets real busy. I got this one, you got that one. And, you know, look, there are times up here, especially at Saratoga, you go out on the main track at the break, you might have 12 or 14 horses working at the same time, and even three guys, it's tough to cover them all. The Clocker team here has six or seven after the break, and you know, they're hard pressed sometimes to get them all because they just ride on top of each other. It's a tough thing. But you know, a guy like Todd Pletcher, he works his sets, you know, one after the other. One doesn't start till the other one's finished. He's a Clocker's dream. Chad Brown, pretty much the same. The bad thing is when they work at the same time, both those two barns after the break, then it can get a little hairy. But it takes a lot of teamwork, and you're not going to get them all. People want to know, how come you didn't have this work or that work? There are times you just can't see them all. You try to maybe see how they finish and grab a last quarter on one because you just couldn't take the whole thing. But by and large, you know, I think we do a pretty good job with it. And IDing them is a little tough. We get some help from the Naira Clockers, not all the time. We got to, you know, get the marks and try to figure out who they are ourselves. So it's not an easy job. And clocking the works is the easy part. Putting them in our system when the entries come out, you have a couple of two-year-old races at the end of the meet. You might have five or six works on first-time starters, and you have 12 or 14 in a race. It could take an hour just to load one race in the system. So, to me, that's the toughest part of the job. Clocking is fun, and clocking is the easiest part. But that work is can be a little taxing.
No, you guys do a great job, and as I say, I've seen you and Dave kind of comparing notes and spending a lot of time in the afternoon just coordinating all the stuff you've picked up in the morning. But before we get on and actually talk some horses and some races, talk about where that workout information goes, because as I mentioned, and we have you on every year, and I know people appreciate the product, because up here, particularly with the two-year-old races, it can really help out the workout report. Talk about that and how people can get it.
DRF.com, if you go to, I think the section called Handicapping, and under Handicapping, there will be a section for clock reports. Or you can go to DRF.com/clocker. I think that'll bring it up. They've got a new policy now. They don't sell it by the meet. They sell it singles, 5, 10, 25. Maybe you can buy 40 for this meet. We also have a Del Mar report, too. But, you know, right now our focus is obviously here. So. But it's available. We usually have them up the day before. Actually, today's card we had up first thing yesterday morning. Friday's card we'll have up in a couple of hours. And, you know, it just depends on the load and how many we've got to put in. We try to get them up by, at the latest, 6 o'clock the day before the actual card. But if we can get them early, we do the best we can.
And obviously it's more than just, here's the time of the workout. You guys are grading the workout as
well. Yeah, that's the difference between just buying the paper.
Right.
And getting the clock report. We grade it, we put a comment down on it. The comments to me are more important than the grades. I mean, sometimes you're in betwixt and between, but you know, not all 59 and 3 works are the same. I mean, we've given anywhere from A minuses on a 59 and 3 to a C plus. If a horse stops to a walks on the wrong lead, you know, doesn't gallop out, you really have to read the comments, and they're the meat and potatoes of the workout report.
Does it make a difference, too, kind of knowing the trainer and how he typically works his horses?
Yeah, no, that helps, too. There are a lot of trainers that don't let their horses gallop out. You know, they pull them up after the wire more often than not. So if one of their horses does gallop out, that's a plus. And the other big, big plus is knowing who they work with, the teams. We were going to talk about the second race today, the first-time starter, Chocolate Gelato of Todd Pletcher. I mean, not only did she work you know, fast, a minute and 4:50, her last work. But she worked in company with Goddess of Fire, who's a stakes horse, and, you know, was right with her the whole way. So I give extra credit when a two-year-old maiden that's unstarted can keep pace with an older, graded stakes winner. And that's important, too. We try to put the workmate in whenever we can. We even try to tell not only the name of the workmate, but, you know, what kind of horse that is. If we sometimes we just don't have the time to, because you got to look them up sometimes, and but we try to do that too. Say the horse was an allowance winner, or say he's a, you know, maiden 25. It's a big difference when you're trying to compare. If a horse beats a horse that was an N2X allowance winner, or got beat by a maiden 25, it makes a big difference in how we look at those works.
Yeah, I have the both pages open right here, and Goddess of Fire and Chocolate Gelato both worked on the 7th. Both have the same time for the workout, but without the workout
and I gave
report,
a different
you
grade,
know.
Too. I gave Chocolate Gelato a B+, because I put extra credit for company kept for a two-year-old keeping up with Goddess of Fire. I gave her a higher grade than Goddess of Fire, who worked well, very well, and arguably you probably could have given them the same grade, but I just thought Chocolate Gelato, again, like I said, a little extra credit, one half of a grade higher, just because she's a two-year-old that's unraced and held her own with it.
Well, I got one more question on that. Now that you brought up the grade itself, for people who pick it up and are looking through, how often do you give out A's?
Not very often.
So an A is an A.
Yeah, we've had a few A's, not too many. A few A minuses, maybe, you know, obviously a few more A minuses. B plus, anyway, B plus up is usually a pretty outstanding work, and again you have to read the comment to it, but from time to time we have had A minuses, and you know, I tell my guys, if you give a horse an A minus, they better win. You know, but you know, you get the better horses obviously work better, so sometimes you get into races where, you know, you got a horse that works an A minus but is in against other horses that are working you know, three B pluses in a row, or A minuses too. I mean, it's not all workouts. So horse works out well, it doesn't necessarily mean they have to win. You still got to use the your handicapping skills, because they'll get in races where, you know, no matter how good they work, you know, they're just overmatched. So it's a combination of them all. But I think it's a great tool, and it's a tool most horse players don't have. Everybody's got buyer speed figures. Everybody's got the treble line comments at the end, or trip notes if they watch races. Everybody has access to that, but there's very few people out here in the morning actually watching the works. And, you know, if you're just buying the form, all you see are the times. And the same time for two different horses doesn't always mean the same thing.
That's what I say. If you can find something in your handicapping that the other people don't have, that's where you can find some value and maybe have a little fun as well. All right, let's move on and talk some of the races. Again, that second race today is a fun little maiden race, but we also mentioned Goddess of Fire. She's in the Wilton this afternoon, which is going to be a fun race in and of itself, because it's the first race out of the mile chute, and I'm going to be very intrigued to see how that all plays out. I pulled up a replay here, and Goddess of Fire, I went back two races. I thought it was a good second two races back to Kathleen O in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. She was maybe a little overmatched last time in the Kentucky Oaks, but I thought stepping into this ungraded stake, I went back to Goddess of Fire. I think she's very interesting. Tarabi, Angitude look like players as well. What did you think in the Wilton today?
I'm a little against Goddess of Fire only because I think she's going to get overbet for this race with Kathleen O. It was a two-horse field. The rest of them had no business being in there, and she was second in the two-horse field. I mean, I know she was second to Kathleen O, but Kathleen O came back and was a disappointment next time in the Kentucky Oaks. Now Goddess of Fire has been away for a while. The inside post may prove an advantage coming out of this chute. That's the big thing. You know, you're going to have to see how this chute is going to play out. The gut reaction is you want to be inside, because it's a very short run around that first turn, and wide posts mean wide, you know, opening eighth of a mile, especially if you don't have much speed. And she's probably going to drop back anyway along the inside. I thought there were some interesting horses in here aside from her. It's not a race I'm going to play, but Angitude, coming off sprints, is probably going to be the inside speed stretching out to a mile, so that might give her a plus, a big plus, and she is coming off a pretty good rate. She's 2-for-3 for Brad Cox. And Tarabi, grade one placed twice last year, comes off a race she probably needed, didn't break all that sharp, and chased home a wire-to-wire winner who's in really good form right now. So I expect her to move forward off of that race. Maybe the best horse in here, but post seven, you know, you just don't know what to expect in this first race out of the chute. I mean, she's kind of a middle horse, you know, sort of has speed, but, you know, maybe not enough to clear off, maybe just enough to get in trouble around that first turn. So We'll see. She's obviously going to be heavily bet too, but I'm really interested to see how this race plays out.
I
guess after this race, the jocks will tell the racing office whether they are comfortable with 9 and 10 coming out of this shoot, or they want them to limit the races to 8 out of that shoot because it just gets a little too tight on that first turn.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And as a handicapper, we're probably going to have to look at least 4 or 5 of them to get kind of a real feel for it. But this first race out of the chute, going to be intriguing. A little bit later on this afternoon, the Grade 3 Schuylerville for the 2-year-old fillies. I pulled up the maiden special at Woodbine on May 28th. Me and My Shadow is going to be the winner here. She'll be the number 3 horse. I think it's a really fun field of 2-year-old fillies. I put the other Cassie horse, Adora, in the mix. I think Jess Cindy and Summer Promise. I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes. I think those two will vie for favoritism. Summer Promise adds a little intrigue as well, being trained by D. Wayne Lucas, who is up here with a stable as well. But I'm tilting towards the Cassie horse, Me and My Shadow horseing win here. Who do you like in the Schuylerville?
Well, the problem with Me and My Shadow is, you know, this really impressive race was run on a synthetic racetrack. You just don't know what to expect on dirt. Now, Mark got her up here early. He's worked her twice on dirt. She and Adora worked together on July 2nd. They have the same time, but again, I'll give a little bit away if you have the clock report. Me and My Shadow was much better than Adora. They came to the wire. Adora's rider was, you know, asking the horse to finish. Me and My Shadow's rider was not. And speaking to Mark afterwards, he thinks Adora may be more of a synthetic horse. He thinks Me and My Shadow could be okay on the dirt. I mean, the other problem in here is, you know, a lot of these horses, they come off their maiden wins, and 2-year-olds, most maiden winners, 2-year-old early in the year, are wire to wire. So you're going to be asking, they all can't be in front in here. So you're going to be asking some of them to do something they've never done before, taking back. It's pretty hard to say who's going to be in front. I like the 2 Kentucky horses, Just Cindy. This horse proves she can win from off the pace. She was 6-5 first out. Obviously, she showed the clock or something in Kentucky before she ran, and she proves she can win from off the pace. Post 1 for 2-year-olds, not my favorite spot to begin. She could get shuffled back early, but she does have IRAD. Summer Promise probably going to be my pick. She ran super first time out. It was only a 6-horse field, wired the field, did it impressively, and has come back, and it looks like she's worked just super. It's July 3rd, 46.5 mile. Wayne knows how to win this race. He's won it 5 times. I think he's tied with Todd. If he wins it again today, that'll put him in front of Todd 6 times, winning the Schuylerville. Interesting that Todd has nobody for the Schuylerville. He's got 2 for the Sanford on Saturday. But, you know, it's a good position for Summer Promise to be in. If she breaks really well, maybe she'll clear off. If not, she's going to be in a great stalking position outside whatever speed goes inside her. And if she can, you know, rate a little bit and win from off the pace. So I'm going 9-1 on my 2 picks.
Yeah, and you talk about Just Cindy. That is always impressive when a 2-year-old can kind of sit back, come from off the pace.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if Mark's going to scratch Janis Joplin. She's the only maiden in the race. But the more we got to talk and the more he got to think, and, you know, there's so much speed in here. Look, she rallied from next to last to be 3rd in the first start. And he said if she didn't kind of lug in a little bit, she probably would have won. So I think he's probably going to leave her in. And of the 3 Mark horses, she's the only, even though she's a maiden, she's the only one that's run on dirt.
Tomorrow, there's a nice stake as well. We'll look out over the next couple of days at a couple of stakes. And first of those is tomorrow, the Coronation Cup, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. I couldn't get past Twilight Gleaming, the Wesley Ward runner. I tilted in that direction. But I think Empress Tigress is very live in here. Second time for Jonathan Thomas and Augustin. I mentioned on the handicapping show this morning, I have loved the Augustin horses up here at Saratoga, going back to the Jonathan Shepherd days, and we'll see. I think Jonathan Thomas has picked up the mantle nicely. So Empress Tigress in the second career start, interesting. And Marissa's Lady on the inside, I think, is interesting, but trying turf for the first time. So I'm a little bit intrigued with that one. What do you see in the Coronation?
Yeah, she's a big question mark, but she's won 3 times on synthetic. Yeah. And if you believe the adage, the synthetic horses that run well will also run well on turf. She has a little turf breeding. The 8 Bells that she comes out of was a super key race. Matt Araya won the Acorn out of it. And there was another one came out of it, I can't remember, won the Mother Goose. So it was a super key race, but she's on the rail. She has speed. There's a lot of speed outside her. I think the key here is Twilight Gleaming and Static Fire. What happens up front? There's a slight chance that Twilight Gleaming might come out. Not sure as of this moment. Obviously, she's still in the race. if she were to come out, Statify is just loose on the lead and maybe gone. I mean, this horse handled the turf here last year, you know, super in her first start. So we know turf isn't an issue. She came back off a long layoff, won again. Trainer Brian Lynch told me yesterday that this horse can rate if she's outrun to the lead. He's not worried about that. But he said she's super fast, too. If she were to break and catch a flyer and get to the lead, it wouldn't surprise him. One thing about Julian Leperu, when he's in front, and he's clear in front, he's a tough one to get past if he can get a horse to relax and rate for him. So, again, we'll see what happens with Twilight Gleaming and Static Fire, but I'm really intrigued by Static Fire.
Yeah, I think it's a fun race.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And then finally, wanted some thoughts on Saturday. Saturday, we have a couple stakes races, the Diana and the Sanford. But I thought we'd get some thoughts on the two-year-olds because there's one in here I'm really intrigued because I am in the studio down in Albany most of the year during the afternoon, handicapping all afternoon long, and I was really impressed by Forte in the career debut going back to May 27th. We'll take a look at that. He'll be the number two horse here going out for Pletcher Rapoli and Company. Got an 81 buyer figure. The chart margin is over seven lengths. As I say, very impressed there. But we have the Firenze Fire sibling in here as well, Adiamo a Firenze, who adds a nice dose of intrigue in a nice full field of two-year-olds. What do you like in the Sanford?
Yeah, this is one of those two-year-old races, again, where, you know, they've all had one start. You just don't know how. Some of them are going to move forward. Some of them probably not. Some of them are going to want the lead and not going to make it. A little more diversity in here. A bunch of these horses have already won from off the pace, yeah. Surprisingly so. Forte, 1-5 in the first start, his first start, you know, won like a 1-5 shot. Was a little green. If you watch, he was lugging in some through mid-stretch. I talked to Todd this morning. You know, he's very pleased with his race. He's very pleased with the way he has come out of the race. He expects another big race for him, obviously. He's going to be the overbet favorite in here, I believe. But, you know, Andiamo a Firenze, also a big number first time. My colleague Dave Grenning said this horse worked super down at Belmont the other day. So it's good. To me, it's a good race to watch. Not a race for me to play. Todd also likes his other horse a little bit, Major Dude. He said he was very professional first time out, winning from off the pace, and expects him to move forward off the race. We have not seen him. He's been down at Monmouth. So, again, I agree with you. It's a fun race to watch. Not the kind of race I'm going to be stepping into.
Major Dude by Bolt D'Oro, who's gotten off to just a phenomenal start as a sire of debut runners. So, had some intrigue.
Disappointing on opening day, no maiden special weight race. Oh. I can't remember the last time there was a maiden special weight, not a maiden special weight on opening day here at Saratoga. They tell me there was only two horses in the entry box for that, but hopefully.
On the male side.
On the, you know, I can't remember if it's a male or filly race. It might have been a male race. Either way, filly or male, for it not to fill opening day, I was really disappointed in that. But, you know, maybe they'll bring it back middle of the week and they'll get it to go. I'm not sure what their plan is. But trust me, there are a million two-year-olds that have been working here. A lot of them do look like they're a little bit behind getting ready. Todd has just a ton.
Dave did a great article, too.
Yeah, Dave did a great article, and I mean, I will say, read that for sure. Yeah. He was saying, I wrote this article, all these two-year-olds, and none of them are, I mean, the race doesn't go, I don't get it. But it'll go eventually, and then a lot of them will go, and it'll be a fun summer with that. And again, I can't tell you how many two-year-olds I've timed here over the last just like 9 days alone. So they'll be going, trust me.
Mike Welch and Dave Grenig, great work all meet long covering the Saratoga meet
for
the Daily Racing Forum.
Nobody covers Saratoga anywhere better than Dave Grenig.
No,
I just got to say that. Nobody works harder. He's the man.
He is the guy. Our staff saying Mike's pretty good, too, and I will vouch. They're both hardworking and great coverage. DRF.com, you can get the hard copy as well. And don't forget the workout report. It is a great tool for handicapping throughout the meet. Mike, we appreciate the visit this morning. Absolutely. And hopefully maybe we'll get you and Dave to kind of alternate as we have in previous years on Thursday morning so we can get some opinions throughout the meet.
We'll get somebody here.
All right. Sounds good. Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. We'll take another break. When we come back, Anthony will join me and we'll wind things up on a Thursday opening day. Stay tuned.
Set now for the juvenile fillies to 14 of them across the track. Here's sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Broke K, but meanwhile it's going to be Stein, but running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping, Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping, Maria goes on, Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like, Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come, stop shopping, Maria, full of runs, still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late, yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping area. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Always appreciate talking to Mike Welch. He always comes in with some nice opinions. He's talked to some people, and I think lends a little bit, another little tool to the toolbox.
Yes, well, for myself, and for I think many people, because of the nature of what his forte is, hint, hint, no, no. You know, he has an angle.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you saw that. Yeah.
Took me
a minute.
Not
good when you have to explain the joke, but yeah, you saw what I did there. I can watch replays. I've seen enough races that I don't need much help. It's always good to get good help. But the workouts, first off, I'm not going to be up at that hour at this location. I might be up at that hour in my house. And I've always said, you know, I have to look under the hood to see if it's a Colt or a filly. So I'm not good with identification. I don't know how they do that. But, you know, we go back a long time ago. You've talked often about the old mud marks in the daily racing form, et cetera. And, you know, the other thing that I think real veterans remember was the workout comments and such. And I think there was a feeling that they had such a high level of integrity that they were almost invaluable. And if you remember, the workouts used to be like the page before the PPs started. And they were, you know, up until 1990, I think the form had their own, and they put them out like that, and it was...
I remember Gary West.
You looked every day. You're like, you know, you look for that bold one. He was the fastest. Then you saw one with comments. You were just like... And I know the information age is so much better now, but that, what Mike does is something very, very, very few people would have access to or could even tell me what they're looking at. Because I can't.
Gary West, who used to write for the Dallas newspapers,
yes, Dallas
horse
Point
racing, great racing columnist, but he said, you know, a long time ago, it's not how fast they work, it's how they work. And
yeah.
So he was a big workout guy. He would show up at the tracks down in Texas and always, you know, have
right.
some thoughts on it. Yeah, this work looked fast on paper,
right.
but, you know, it didn't look. And Mike was kind of alluding to saying that as well. But also, I think an important part of what he does and what you would get from the workout report is working in company, which you don't
yes.
see on the page. But like he said, that two-year-old working with Goddess of Fire, that clearly
yeah.
Indicates some talent when you see that. And a lot of horses do work in company now. So to get alerted to that, I think, is certainly a benefit.
I agree. I mean, we don't, you know, I mean, it's, you got to play the horses. You know, even twice a week, if you're just a weekend warrior. at Saratoga with the propensity of two-year-old racing and etc. It's like I said, I have no angle on that except him.
I will toss out a little note I have here because during the handicapping show, you said, you know, that you ease into that, which I think is a good idea, and I think it's the right thing to do, get a feel for how the track's playing, yada, yada. But do you remember I wrote it down because it's not so much anymore because they have kind of changed the composition of the track.
Oh.
But it used to be for years and years, you just went with the speed until the first rainstorm. There would be, you know, you look in the form and, okay, here's the horse who's going to the lead. That's where I am on the main track.
Yeah.
But then, you know, a week or 10 days, it would be a big rainstorm, and then you could
change
put
it
that
up.
Away.
The times that I usually, and I've said this, especially now with the 2 days off, when they come back after the break and if there was any weather, that's when I always have felt, and I have no studies for it at all, that I would be the most, well, this would make sense. They get 2 days to work on it, nothing happens. Mother Nature intercedes, etc. So it is, and I've always wondered and would want to meet and really talk to them. You know, there's going to be payouts of good size, change your year type on opening day, and I always wanted to meet somebody that scores out on, like, the first day or first 3 days. It's like, you know, I, as a public handicapper and personally, like last year on the Thursday RAA, I did some trifectas, which is my bet. And on the second, might have been the first, I think it was the second one, though, we scored out. Now, I talk in the old parlance of $2 wagers. It was a $2,000 trifecta. And it allowed me to play in a way that's radically different than hitting the $2,000 trifecta on Labor Day. I mean, people, you know, that's why I said to Seth before Mike came on, it's like I had seen on Twitter that Mike had beaten the meet at Gulfstream Park's championship meet. And I've said this to my sisters from time, and they look at me like, well, that makes you like a C-plus student. I'm like, no, dummy, that makes you an A-plus student. I said, if you beat the breakage, you're a B-plus
or A. You're the valedictorian.
I said, they don't know what it's like, but I've always wanted to talk to somebody like that just crushes it on opening day, whether it's a pick six, the pick five, a pick four, multiple times. A, you got to feel euphoric, and B, how do you maneuver the rest of the meet?
I will give a tip of the cap to our former colleague here on the network, Nick Kling, who some years ago before he retired, he beat New York for the year.
Yes.
Incredible. That's insane.
That is. I remember reading about that, and I stress this. I don't like when other people say this, so I feel badly. If you haven't done it, you can't know how big a mountain that is. Yeah. But I do remember Nick beat the whole Naira meet for the year. And they ran more races than they do now, so better. But
insane.
It's a lot of fun. I always wanted to meet somebody that just crushes it on opening day, and, you know, I have had that feeling at the Breeders' Cup where I crushed it early when a horse that I loved at 30-1 run, and Brian Nadeau, our colleague, says to me, he goes, that's you, isn't it? He goes, you didn't even change your whole disposition. I go, no, not externally. I said, and I'm done, and it was, and this is the feeling that I get, as long as you're not a lunatic. It was so stressless, the rest of it, and now I'm just trying to hit home runs with small trifecta tickets and shooting for the moon now because I'm already – and I presume that's how the average semi-veteran would look at it.
You can ask me how it is tomorrow.
I am looking forward to the king of the exacta killing some and being like, I'm out. I just got under the declaration and I'm out.
I don't know if I'm working that today.
When I was young, the exacta used to be my big play. And this surprises people. When I was young, and I'm talking 19, my play was like chasing a $15 or $17 exacta, having it like $30 or something. And that was how I was chasing $500.
It's funny, you know, you talk about the changing mentality of people as they get into the game and get a little more knowledgeable about it. I think we've all gone through that. Through that period where...
Well, you're supposed to.
That period where, you know, you had the $2 show bet and got $3.20 back in.
Well, I'll tell you this one quick one, because when I was 16 or 17, I'd have my 18-year-old friend bet for me. I used to... The Quinella, and I think it still is, but I can't think of too many public handicappers who have said that on the air, was races 2 and 4. The exacto is 3, 5, and 7. People think this is all, you know, witchcraft I'm talking about. And the trifecta was race 9. My point is, I played the Quinella in the second race because obviously it was less expensive than the exact in race 3. And if I won and I played chalky ones, it was a $3 surcharge, I believe, or $2 surcharge to get into the clubhouse from my grandstand admission. That'd be the first thing I'd do. I'd take that winnings
upgrade
right into the clubhouse and play the rest of the day from there.
As the meet progresses,
I always
feel
badly for people that haven't gone to the track since they were, I'm not saying 8 or 10-year-olds, but really, like, you know, obviously 18 to bet, but even 16 to come up here and, you know, obviously this is the most beautiful place in the United States. I mean, it's just so beautiful. But then as an 18-year-old, come and bet and win money, and it's just, you know, and have that experience. I mean, it's great to become a fan.
And the old doubleheader.
Down the road here.
And boom, which I think is going to be possible 3 days a week. I think they're doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at night. Sunday doubleheader sounds like a lot of fun to me.
There will be many of our friends and colleagues that will do
that. Absolutely. We have to wrap up, but just before we do, I wanted to touch on a couple of things. One thing kind of ties into what we're talking about, coming to the track and getting up here and having some fun. I do want to mention the season pass, because I think when Naira came up with that concept a few years ago, I think it's about the most fan-friendly thing you could do.
Absolutely.
When you go over to Stewart's, you buy a season pass. If you're a person who lives in the area and you plan to go to the track, you know, more than 2 or 3 times, you're thinking, hey, I want to really experience it, take a look at that season pass, because it's a great value. They sell
I've never done the math because we're – fresh people, is it like...
I think 7 or 8, I want to
eight
say.
8 is the break-even point where... The point being, there's a number you could do the division that if you're coming more than 8 times, it's a better deal for you. It says that if you're a once-a-year person, you know, no. If you're twice-a-year, probably not. But there's a number. And for an 8-week meet, I know a lot of people in their life, they go that day. They'll go all the Fridays, whether it's work or whatever. But if you go more, I'm sure you're right with the 8.
You know, and obviously we're OTB. We'd love to have you come down to the clubhouse and enjoy that. But also during the meeting, we always recognize coming up here and being here live makes new fans. It's just a lot of fun. It's a great spot. I will also tout what I tout every year, and I think it kicks off today. But
it's got to be the low roller.
Thursday and
Sunday. I can't read it, but
Thursday
I know my
Sunday,
man.
Low roller.
I
will
be
over.
I know whose tie it is, and I know what bets.
And if you're not familiar, contest playing. A lot of people haven't tried contest. If you try, it's a lot of fun. You have to think a little bit differently with your handicapping. Look for value. The low roller, you go over. They have a booth down by the 4-Star Day Bar in the carousel area, and you give them $40. They give you a card worth $30, a bet card worth $30. They put $10 in the prize pool. During the afternoon, you have to make 5 $2 win play show bets. And you get to keep all of that money you make on your card. But if you're the highest person, you win the top prize and second prize, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody I've told about it who has gone over and tried it over the past 4 or 5 years comes
it's
back.
It's rave reviews.
They're like, it's that's great. How was I not doing
it's
this?
It's a home run. It's a great, great promotion or contest that Naira started years ago. The people that they're bringing in it's a great idea,
and it can then introduce you a little bit to the contest game at CapitalOTB.com. They have the horse tourneys section where we offer contests as well to OTB customers in New York State. So
had pretty good success. Did you, like you said,
I've won like 3 of them up here and 1 of them down at Belmont.
That's pretty darn good,
so,
in my book.
Yeah, I was happy with all of those experiences, and I play contests. I don't get to play as much as I'd like. I'll play online a few times a year. But as I say, you think a little bit differently. They're a lot of fun, and the low roller is.
A close friend of mine, a friend that I met Ballerina Stakes Day 89. I've been a couple set in at a couple of the Breeders' Cup ones. Those people. My wife's like, why don't you try that? I go, are you Fruit Looped? These players are, some of them got three computers. I will say this. I don't know how much. We have one thing I've said many times before. If a greater being is outside this tent and says, do you want to be a great handicapper or a great better, you should definitely know which group you're supposed to choose. And the group you're supposed to choose is the great better. And at those things, these guys are like, I'm
$10,000 buy-in.
Yeah, steeper. Well.
I will note, oh, one more thing, because we are running a little bit late. But
can't run over.
They've been doing it for the past few years. The NHC is offering a Beat the Bick contest, where Steve Bick is going to have picks every week on some stakes races. You then either agree with them or disagree with them, but you get to qualify for a September contest that will send the winner to the National Handicapping Championship in March. But this year they're offering to the winner of the whole Beat the Bick Challenge $1 million as an extra if you then go out and win the National Handicapping Championship as well. If you beat Bick and then win the NHC, you get an extra
money.
Mil.
That's right.
Crazy. So again,
don't get us yelled at.
Just type in NHC and beat Bick. And we are running late. So we'll wrap it up. Anthony Mormino, Seth Mara, we'll be back in tomorrow morning for Handicapper Support at 9 a.m. We're underway. We're giddy. We're ready. Hopefully you are too. Come on up, make some money, or head out to your parlor, fire up CapitalOTVBet.com. But Saratoga is underway day one. We'll recap and lead into day two tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll see you then.
Generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTB TV. A service of Capital Off-Track Betting.